Good morning, Harmony. Thank you for joining us for our online service this morning. Today we'll be concluding our study of chapter 32 of Genesis. And let's get started with prayer requests. So this morning we want to pray for Miss Lois and Joe. Continue to pray for her. She has been improving, feeling a little better, and so we want to pray for her and her recovery. We want to pray for Pastor Austin Gardner, who is in the hospital, and he's been in ICU for quite a while with COVID-19, and we want to pray for his recovery. He's starting to recover, and so we want to continue to pray for him. We want to pray for Pastor Mohan, who has cancer and is undergoing chemotherapy. We want to pray for his healing. We want to pray for missionary David Gates, who was able to come home from the hospital. He had COVID and he was in the hospital, and so we want to pray for his continued healing. We praise God he was able to come home. And a lot of people that have had it that we've been praying for are starting to recover from it. And so we praise God for that. We want to pray for all the shut-ins in our church this morning. And we want to pray for all of our members and for those that listen to us in different countries around the world and that are in situations where they're still in lockdown and they haven't open the countries up yet, and so we want to pray for them. And pray for those trying to find a cure for COVID and those that are working on that. And we want to pray for the United States. There's a lot of unrest and rioting and things going on in some of the major cities, and so we want to pray for peace and calm, and we want to pray for harmony. There needs to be racial harmony and all those things. And so we want to pray for peace. And I feel like that people are going to work things out between themselves. And so I just pray, we want to pray that just God will intervene and just help us to make peace with one another. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll go ahead and pray for all these and other requests that are being mentioned today in the in-person service that's going on at the same time that this is going on. So we want to pray for our whole church and all the needs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in this service this morning, and we do pray that you would bless us. I pray you bless the in-person service as well. And we do pray for all these prayer requests. We pray for Brother Austin and his continued healing. We pray for David Gates. We pray for the Gardner family. We pray for all those who have had COVID-19, those recovering. We do pray for Miss Lois. We pray for her continued healing. Her health problems. We pray for Joe. We pray for all the shut-ins in our church. Pray for Miss Virginia. We pray for those that are sick, those that have relatives that are sick. We pray for Andy Crafton. Pray for others. Pray for those trying to make important decisions right now. We just pray that you would guide them and comfort them. We pray for ourselves that you would just bless the preaching of your word and the service this morning. I pray you'd forgive me for my sins. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd use me this morning to preach your word. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So the title of the message this morning is Wrestling with God. Wrestling with God from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. And by way of introduction this morning, we'll look at verses 22 through 23. And the Bible says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. So Jacob has left Padan-Aram, where he's lived for 20 years. And he's made peace with his father-in-law Laban. And now he's going home and he's going to meet his brother Esau. God's told him to go home. And so he knows that God wants him to go there, but he's going to meet his brother Esau. And when he left 20 years before, Esau wanted to kill him. And now Esau's coming to meet him, and he's bringing 400 men with him. So Jacob is scared, and he can't sleep. So he rises up that night, and he decides to go ahead and send his wives and his servants and his sons and take them over this river. Now, the Jabbok River that is mentioned here is today called the Zarka River. And it's a beautiful, you see a picture here. And it's a beautiful looking area and a nice body of water, but he had to cross over that. So the Bible says in verse 23, he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. So he goes ahead and sends them over and makes sure they get over safely. And now we're going to get into our outline and talk about his wrestling. So the first thing we're going to see is the man in verses 24 through 25. So the word of God says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So Jacob sends his family ahead and he stays by himself, presumably to pray before meeting his brother Esau. And I imagine he was doing a lot of praying because he was scared. Now, while praying, he wrestles with an angel, probably the pre-incarnate Christ himself. A lot of commentators believe that this is Christ himself in a pre-incarnate form. And the Bible doesn't say in Genesis that this was an angel. It says that in a quote that we're going to read from another book of the Bible. However, sometimes the angel of the Lord is referred to in the Old Testament, and that is the pre-incarnate Christ. So Jacob is left alone, and he's wrestling with this man all night. Matthew Henry wrote, God himself seemed to come forth against him as an enemy, to oppose his entrance into the land of promise, and to dispute the pass with him, not suffering him to follow his wives and children whom he had sent before. And so the Bible says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is the angel, when he saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So this angel was so powerful that by merely touching the socket of Jacob's hip, he put it out of joint. The man who wrestled with Jacob saw that Jacob was not going to give up. He couldn't prevail against him. Of course, one who could disable Jacob by touching him could have easily prevailed. But God chose not to prevail against Jacob. Jacob would win. But sometimes it feels like God is against us. Our prayers seem to be going nowhere, and it seems like we're wrestling with God for an answer. And I've got a little diagram here to show you where the hollow of the thigh would have been, so that the hip was out of joint. And that would have made it extremely painful to continue to wrestle. Jacob would have been disabled and unable to move effectively. But Jacob was not one to quit. So he held onto his opponent with all his might. And that leads us to our second point, which is the method in verse 26. The method that Jacob used to wrestle with God. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, this is Jacob saying this, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Now, Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4 sheds a little bit of light on Jacob's method. It says, "Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel," which means the house of God, "and there he spake with us." So, his method was weeping and supplication. He was weeping, obviously, he was in pain. His hip was out of joint. And so, he was in a lot of pain, and he was weeping, but he was also begging God. He was saying, "Bless me, bless me, I've got to go see my brother. I've got to go see my brother, and he's coming after me with 400 men. He's going to kill me. And you told me to come here, and I need you to bless me." And God is wrestling with him. And perhaps he's saying, "I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to bless you. You're not going to make it. I'm going to stop you." And Jacob says, "No, you've got to bless me. You've got to bless me. You told me to come here. I won't let you go until you bless me." And he refused to let God go until he was blessed. The Bible says, Jesus said in the New Testament, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That's Matthew 7:7. And when Jesus said that, he's not saying to ask one time, to seek God once, to knock once, but he's saying, "Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking until God answers." And that's what Jacob is doing here. He's wrestling with God and he says, "I will not let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." Again, the Bible says in James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so, the Bible teaches, of course, we all have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to our accounts, and we're righteous in the sight of God. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so, how do we get our prayers answered? We pray fervently, and we keep on praying. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And he kept on wrestling until the break of day. Jesus told a story of a widow and an unjust judge. And in that story, he said, it was a parable, and in that parable, he said that there was a widow who came before an unjust judge, an unscrupulous judge, and said, "Somebody has done me wrong. Avenge me of mine adversary." And the judge wouldn't do it. He probably wanted a bribe. And the widow didn't have any money, so she couldn't bribe him. But instead of giving up, the widow came back the next day. And the judge said, "Go away." And so she came back the next day. And the judge said, "Go away." And she kept coming back until finally the judge said, "I don't fear God, and I don't care anything about this widow, but she's driving me crazy. She keeps coming back and she won't give up. And so, because of that, I'm going to give her what she wants." And in Luke 18:6-8, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" So sometimes God seems like an unjust judge. Sometimes we pray for something and he bears long with us. He takes a long time to answer as far as we're concerned. And so we keep praying and it's like God doesn't want to hear us and doesn't want to hear us and doesn't want to hear us. And yet, Jesus said, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? So when God moves, He moves quickly. But it takes Him sometimes a long time as far as man's timetable is concerned. It takes Him a long time to move. When He moves, He'll move speedily. But Jesus says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? And that is faith to pray and to keep praying, to seek God and to keep seeking Him, to knock and to knock until the door is opened. Jacob is wrestling with the angel. He could have easily given up. A lot of times when we're facing obstacles, the easiest thing to do is to turn back. That's the easiest thing to do. And yet, God does not want us to turn back. If we're in His will, He wants us to keep praying until we get an answer. He wants us to not let go of the throne of grace until we receive the blessing. He wants you to keep preaching, to keep teaching. He wants us to keep working. He wants us to keep going forward until we get a blessing. And so that's exactly what the New Testament teaches about prayer. And in this parable, the widow and the unjust judge, we see that. Now, the third point we want to look at is the means in verses 27 through 31. What means did Jacob use to win this wrestling match? So we see in verse 27, and he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So the name of Israel means one who struggles and prevails with God. From Jacob's sons would come the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is where the name Israel, as we know it, came from. Now, the truth of the matter is, how did Jacob become a prince? As a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. You know, we can't wrestle with God and win in our own strength. We prevail with God in prayer in God's strength, in the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, likewise, Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, God empowered Jacob to win in his wrestling match, and God empowers us to get answers to our prayers by His Holy Spirit that lives in us. The Bible says in verse 29, And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob wants to know this man's name. He knows it's God. He knows he's wrestling a divine being, and he wants to know the name. Now, Moses also asked God's name in Exodus 3:13. The Bible says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And, of course, God told Moses to say, I'm the I am. But God does not wish to reveal His name to Jacob. The important thing is that Jacob has been blessed and that his name has been changed to Israel. It's a wonderful thing. Just as Jacob could not get this blessing and this victory without the power of God enabling him to. I mean, again, this angel he was wrestling dislocated his hip by touching him. He could have easily defeated him, and yet he did not. He gave Jacob power. Jacob had the power of God, and he prevailed in this wrestling match. And we, as New Testament believers, cannot get our prayers through to God. We cannot have power with God in prayer without the Holy Spirit of God. But the Bible says the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we do not know how to pray as we should. We don't know what to ask for, but the Spirit translates our feeble prayers to God in a language that God will receive and will answer. And the Bible says, and Jacob called the name of that place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Peniel means the face of God. And sometimes God brings us to a place where we come face to face with Him. We see His power and His presence. I've had that in my life several times that I can think of where, you know, I've been praying for something. And I've seen God work, and I've seen God move, and I've come face to face with His power. When April and I were living in Northern Ireland, and we were preaching there at Faith Baptist Church near Belfast, God sent a revival. God sent a revival, and the power of God was evident. And I've never seen it like that since. I've seen God move. I've seen people get saved. I've seen the power of God work, but I've never seen it like it was there since. Of course, God can do works in a different way in different places. And He does. And God's working here at Harmony Baptist Church. But I'm saying that when you see the presence of God, when you come face to face with Him, it's a wonderful thing. And Jacob said, I've come face to face with God and my life was preserved. I didn't die. Of course, coming into the presence of God is a awesome thing. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and His train filling the temple there in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah didn't say, wow, I'm in the presence of God. He said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of an unclean people. And that's the way it is when we come into the presence of God. It's a miracle. You know, when Moses came face to face with God on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel were told to stay back. And if anybody touched the mountain, they would be killed. And so, coming into the presence of God is an awesome, mighty thing. And so, Jacob calls the name of the place Peniel, which means the face of God. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. So, he had a limp, because his thigh was out of joint, and it was affected. The tendons in that area had been numbed and injured, and so he's limping as he goes forward. Matthew Henry said, wrestling believers may obtain glorious victories and yet come off with broken bones. For when they are weak, then are they strong. Weak in themselves, but strong in Christ. And the Bible said, Paul said, I sought the Lord three times for this infirmity in my flesh, and I asked him to remove it, and God said, no, 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 three times. And he said, my power is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so God uses weak vessels where his strength can be magnified. And I thank God for that. And the fourth thing we see is the memorial in verse 32. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. So they memorialize this event by abstaining from eating tendon or ligament that is in what doctors call the acetabulum. It's acetabulum. That's the medical term for it. And I'm sure that I'm not pronouncing it nearly correct, but I'll spell it. But that's the hollow area of the thigh. And though this may seem weird to us, it's important to remember spiritual victories in our lives. When God changes us, we should remember. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember when you led your first soul to Christ? Sometimes when I'm discouraged, I remember what God has done in the past, how he's delivered me in the past, and that encourages me about the present. So therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. So they just said, we're not going to eat it because we're going to remember, we're going to have a memorial to what happened to Jacob when his name was changed to Israel and he was blessed. So in conclusion, let's keep praying. Let's keep serving. Let's keep working, even when it seems like God is our opponent and answers don't come. Who will be the Christian who will say, I won't let you go until you bless me? Remember what Jesus said about the unjust judge, and he said this. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Is he going to find people who are wrestling with God and not letting go until they get the blessing? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I do pray if there's anyone listening that does not know you as Savior, who may feel like you're their enemy, but the truth is you're their greatest friend who died on the cross, Lord Jesus Christ, was buried and rose from the dead. I pray if there's anyone listening who has not come to a place of faith in you and been born again, I pray that today will be the day they would turn to you in faith and trust you as their Lord and Savior and be saved. We pray for Christians who are struggling, who have been praying for things for a long time and who are thinking about giving up. Ministers who are thinking about quitting. Sunday school teachers thinking about quitting. Church members who are thinking about quitting. We pray that you just bless them. We just pray that you would work and encourage them to keep wrestling with God and to not let you go until you bless them. We ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. We thank you for listening today, and we hope you'll join us on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for our midweek service. It'll be online, but also we'll be in person at Harmony Baptist Church. If you want to come visit us, we sanitize the sanctuary on a weekly basis before the services, and we practice social distancing, and we hope you'll come out and visit us. And we also hope you'll listen online. God bless you, and I hope you have a great week.